is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It's happening, everybody. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. The opening drive is brought to you by Cherish. And look who's sitting to my left here, Dave Wyman. Who is this guy?
It's Dave Grosby.
Hi, Gros.
Hi, Gros.
How are you, man?
I'm tired.
You're tired?
What? Those guys wore me out the last segment.
Yeah, it was 15 minutes of fury.
15 minutes of labor fury.
Did you give them all your good stuff? You didn't throw your good pitches, did you?
I gave him a couple decent lines, but I've saved a few.
Okay, well, ration them out. We got 3 hours.
Yeah, we do.
So we're going to dazzle for the next 3 hours. John Clayton will join us at 4 o'clock. At 4:30, Ryan Divish will be with us. We'll talk some Mariner baseball because they are scheduled to start spring training games this weekend. But right before we came on the air, Gros gave me an update on the weather report. They're anticipating some rain potentially tomorrow.
According to noted meteorologist Kyle Brown, rain in the forecast for Arizona.
Wow.
How about for the XFL game here? Anybody check the weather here?
I haven't checked.
It doesn't make any difference.
It's supposed to be sunny tomorrow.
Sunny.
I checked because I have to be down there the entire game.
Yeah, of course you checked.
We saw Maura all bundled up last week, and she had the hat and the big coat on.
Maura gets cold when it's 75 degrees.
She does.
Doesn't matter if it's football, though. You play in the rain.
Yeah, that's happening no matter what. But she's bundled up in the studio there. Imagine her on the sideline when it's raining and freezing.
Oh, man.
And also, Brock's makeup won't run. So that'll be good too.
Well, there's that.
What?
He's got the guy holding the umbrella over the top.
What's joke? The joke.
It's all real. It's all real. Meanwhile, the CBA conversation continues. A tweet from Adam Schefter: after a challenging day of talks and calls, the NFLPA's board will not vote today on the proposed CBA as it had planned, per source. So, voting being delayed pending further discussions. This is an interesting thing. Got a cut here from Dan Graziano on the player concerns that exist right now with a new CBA proposal.
People shouldn't assume that it's going to pass tomorrow. I still think it's more likely than not, but there is a lot of strenuous objection among players to the idea of a 17th game, and a lot of concern among the players in terms of, are we getting enough in return for putting our bodies at risk for an extra game? So that's going to be a long and probably very heated discussion among the player reps tomorrow, and we'll see how it comes out if they vote at all and if they vote yes to move this thing forward.
Didn't you say something, Bob, that you'd seen it was going to be like an extra $250,000 per player or something?
Yeah, I think I had heard that from John, and we can confirm with John. Yeah. But there's so many numbers being thrown around about the total value of this to what it means to the league. It's going to be over $1 billion, and that means for this player it's going to make this much more, and the percentage goes up to 48.5%, their slice of the pie. What bottom line dollars, I still haven't really seen what that means to 53rd guy on the roster versus – a guy who's making big money. And
the 48.5% is all that matters. I mean, that's really the big thing, because we assume that this is going to go up.
Yeah.
If they go to, and I get that it's good for the owners definitely to go to the TV deals and say, hey, look, we're going to have 10 years of labor peace here. Mm-hmm. So you know that you're not going to get any kind of work stoppage or anything like that. But
that's worth $50 billion.
Right. Yeah, so I mean that's the main part what they're trying to get done there, but as far as the extra game goes, I'd never thought of this, and actually Richard Sherman said, why they're doing 17? Because they want 18 eventually.
Of course.
So I mean that's maybe I think what they're seeing is a stepping stone towards that. And so if you're Bobby Wagner and you're making, what do you make, $18 million? He's making over $1 million a game. And if this number does come out to be, okay, it's going to be like an extra 250, I mean, it needs to be prorated so that it pays him a normal weekly check, I would think. So that's something that's going to have to get hammered out as well. But, there's some other things on the board about, hitting. They want their weed. There's possibly going to be, some things done for some of the older players. There's lots of sticking points along the way. But I think there's a lot of players that feel like they should go ahead and sign this deal, because
there's no doubt there are, because probably a great deal of them have no idea what's in the deal. They're just hearing that, well, it's going to be a little bit more money. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was surprising to hear that so many players, so many of those reps hadn't seen anything until today.
And some are, we've got tweets from people. Jarvis Landry, who's one of the 32 player reps, tweeted out, quote, Looks like y'all better start getting y'all XFL TV packages together. That's implying a work stoppage.
Well, I think and Clayton will confirm this, but if they go to a, if this doesn't pass, and they just over the last year, the owners will say that this is the best deal, and they'll lock the players out next year.
See, and that, I've heard him say that, and I don't quite get that. That we're giving you our best offer now; it only gets worse from this point forward. Seems an odd stance for the owners.
Oh no, it's definitely how you negotiate when you got most of the cards.
But do they?
Sure, they do. What evidence have we seen that the players can actually hold out for any extensive period of time? And look, I think the NFL
1987.
Yeah. Boy, it feels like forever ago, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, you know,
quite a while ago.
The average career of the NFL is what's always worked against the union being strong. I mean, it's 3.5 years is the average career. I mean, who has a year to sacrifice in a career that's so short when you talk about the bulk of players? So I think the owners are holding the cards. I think they know they're holding the cards. I wouldn't be surprised to see the players voted in. They go for the whole majority. I wonder why and how D'Amora Smith negotiated something that's leading to this kind of rebellion.
Yeah, he agreed.
And that's
to
my
it.
Question.
And right. You've got other J.J. Watt tweeting out, quote, hard no on that proposed CBA. And then Russell Wilson clicked like on that one.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I mean, the player rep is, or the Eric Fisher is the
Eric Winston,
yeah. Forgive me.
Yeah.
He's out of the league for 2 years, so he's done.
Yeah, his term's coming to an end.
Yeah, he's going to be replaced by...
Probably Sherm.
Or Richard Okun, or Russell
Okun. Russell Okun, maybe, yeah.
I mean, someone who's going to be more militant, probably.
Right.
Yeah, you've got Tyler Lockett, who's been active on Twitter, to Pro Football Talk. They tweeted out a headline that said, Union says players will get $100 million more in 2020 if they accept the deal now. And he wrote, no deal. And then Darren Revelle tweeted out, quote, I've been covering sports labor for 20 years. The deal the NFL owners are putting forth might be the worst deal, with the exception of the deal the NHL players accepted in 2005 after a year off. There's no way the NFLPA says yes on this. And then Tyler responded, quote, we say no.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. This has been a problem that's been going on for the NFL. I mean, look, I know not every sports union is perfect, but I just remember at the end of my career, I ran into Jeff Facero down in Scottsdale when I lived down there. Our wives became friends. So, you know, we just kind of chatted about what our benefits were like. Whatever it was at that time, his were like 10 times
better. Yeah, to be outraged.
10 times better. Yeah. So, I mean, it's always been a problem for
forever
for the NFL. I mean, they had Gene Upshaw, who, and I saw Gene's behavior a number of times where, you know, I always talk about Hugh Mellon basically chased him out of the room by standing up and questioning how much money he's making. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You know, one of the things that they wanted to do, and Brent Stecker on 710sports.com has been going through that pack of cards, you know, and the card that I, where it's hokey, where I'm leaning against the weights and the Raider locker room or whatever. They tried to get all the players to not do any deals with the NFL. So the NFL just came over the top and offered guys like me $10,000 to do a card. And the NFLPA was like, no, we need to stay strong on this and brotherhood and, you know, only do stuff that's NFLPA related. But they were just running it so horribly that pretty much every player went and took the NFL deal. So they've just always been disjointed. And, you know, for the fact that DeMaurice Smith says, you know, we have a deal, and now all the player reps are coming up and saying this. And I know the player rep for the Seahawks is KJ Wright. And so, and I'm not sure, we haven't heard anything from him. I'm not sure how he feels about it, but it just so disjointed. It's very typical of what you've seen from the players in the NFL. DeMaurice Smith, at least as an attorney, you know, before it was an offensive guard.
Right.
I mean, that was Gene Upshaw. And so.
But he should have some idea of what the collective is thinking. You're not going to appease every single individual, right? It's not going to be.
No, you got almost 2,000 guys who are going to vote on this.
Right.
Thing.
But he should have an idea going into this negotiation of what these guys are going to be willing to accept.
And for don't agree to something that's going to get a result like this. I mean, that's the bottom line. And look, again, I mean, how it'll be viewed if it passes.
It appears not well, but how's it going to pass?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know. I mean, you're hearing from a couple of veterans, high-paid guys, guys who've been around for a while, and not hearing from everyone.
So 48.5% I mean, and that's really all that matters. I get that they want to go into the TV deal with some, you know, labor peace and everything. They got also the gambling thing that's going to bring.
It's going to bring a ton of money
in. A lot more money in. So, you know, I don't know the players if, you know, if that's something that they want to do. The 10-year deal seems like kind of a little bit off.
Well, yeah, this thing could be completely antiquated 5 years in where you're looking at the amount of money this league's making and the players going, what are we getting out of this?
Right.
You know, so one other sticking point, according to Mike Garofalo, is the health care that's being presented here.
We are giving the owners an extra game. We are now going to go to 17 games. We are going to put our bodies further on the line. We didn't get enough in return. And one of the bigger points that Tom and I were both told was a sticking point and a big point of discussion was that the players get 5 years of health coverage after they retire. How about we push that out a little bit further? How about we improve the benefits for retired players? That is something that those who believe that they are putting their bodies on the line for one more game feel like they should have gotten a better return on in these negotiations.
That's just me, but to me that would be one of the most important things if I was a player would be, and 5 years, what's 5 years, Dave? What good does 5 years do you? I mean, that's
my first
slap
thing
in
is you're
face.
Not going to need it the first 5 years,
yes. Right?
You I mean, it the last
you start
five.
Getting into your 40s and 50s and 60s, that's when all that's kicking in.
I mean, that's the shame of these negotiations, and always has been that the NFL. I mean, that's the one place all the money they make. That's the one place where you're not guaranteeing contracts that you can actually make it up to players that would create a lot of goodwill and is the right thing to do.
Yeah, and you just hit it, the goodwill and what it means
exactly.
To them. And the bottom line to it, with the money they're making, it's not a ton of money
coming
out of their pocket. It's not like, well, if we do that, you know, it's eating all of the profits we're making with us. It's not even close. It's a sliver of what they're making.
It can't be close.
Well, and I've always thought that the NFL could have avoided this concussion lawsuit, any of these things, by providing that.
Of course.
If you just provide, and you mentioned it's a great word to use, Bob, goodwill. It's like, okay, we want you to play 17 years. We're going to take care of you. I'm sorry, 17 games. We're going to take care of you afterwards. And, you know, whatever the expense that is, you're going to get way more benefit on how that looks. And again, I don't think you'd have guys coming back suing the league over, well, I played with a concussion and this and that, if you're taking care of them.
You most certainly wouldn't.
So, and obviously the NFLPA, it's up to them to negotiate that, right? But they didn't. But even so, I think the NFL should have voluntarily done that. And I think
I agree with you 1,000%.
They could have avoided so much as far as a PR standpoint goes.
Well, not just that. Think you just said it, Dave, as a player. Think about the goodwill you've created with your players.
Right.
From that point forward and negotiating from that point forward.
Yeah, so you're putting your money where your mouth is. It's not, you know, and a lot of people can't tell, you know, oh, we're going to bump up this, you know, pension and things like that. And that doesn't really resonate with most fans. But if you say, hey, we're going to take care of these guys, I mean, that just goes a long way and I think a lot longer than the cost itself. So, yeah, I think even though, and again, it's on the NFLPA. You get in business not what you deserve. You get what you negotiate. And they should have carved that out a long time ago and been sort of a hard line on that. And even if they didn't, again, the NFL should do that. It would be such a good look for them.
And at a minimal cost in terms of what their profits are.
Well, and especially
and what
compared
their profits are going
to
be.
Especially compared to the concussion lawsuit that they just won. Was that a couple $1 billion that's going to be shelled out?
I mean, their new TV deals will probably make it $20-25 billion a year just in television revenue.
Hey, by the way, so much for Mark Cuban's thoughts on this whole thing. The pig getting too fat and getting slaughtered and popularity going down. It's gone the other way. It had a one-year step back with the whole anthem thing, and then it's skyrocketing again. Revenues are up. Viewership is everything's up.
Yep.
By way of comparison, by the way, in Major League Baseball, Mora was looking this up. Players vest in their pensions after 43 days on the active roster, and just one day qualifies a player for lifetime health care.
See what this goes back to is what Dave was talking about with Gene Upshaw. The Major League players were the first ones to go union, and they got one of the best labor union guys in the business, Marvin Miller,
yeah.
Who was, you know, negotiated the U.S. Steel deals. And so baseball started from a standpoint of having a great labor guy.
Yeah, they started with strength.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As opposed to the other sports that really haven't.
Well, and then the players' union, and I saw it firsthand, they were just really, and I'll just go back to 1987 because I missed 4 game checks that year. We went on strike to get free agency.
Yep.
And So, and by the way,
what you got?
I'm not talking about me, but I'm talking about like the Kenny Easleys and Jim Browns of the world. Look, I understand that there aren't a lot of companies out there that have pensions. But, you know, the NFL does.
Sure.
And I just think that's another area.
Actually, Dave, in the day, most companies did.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Right. But yeah, I just think those guys, taking care of those guys. Remember watching Jim Brown walk out for the draft, and he called it the 2017 draft instead of the 18 draft when it happened. And he was shuffling out there with a cane and everything. And it just, those guys aren't.
Well, those CTE stories.
They're not even close. They're not
terrible.
Even close to making the money that Major League Baseball does. You get vested after one day. It's 3 games and 3 years and 3 games.
Well, no, you're vested in your pension after 43 days on the active roster.
Right, and
much
the
longer.
NFL is 3 years and 3 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
how many guys' careers last? What's the percentage of careers that even last that long?
Yeah, well, it's the average, like you said, is 3.5.
Yeah,
3.5 years.
So. The NBA, by the way, they provide health insurance for retired players that played at least 3 years. Players with between 7 and 9 years of service are offered the same coverage with lower out-of-pocket costs, while retired players with at least 10 years of service would be offered coverage for their entire family. The coverage begins January 1st, 2016.
Not contact sports.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, who needs health care more? Baseball,
basketball,
or football? I mean, you know, and then hockey, I'm not sure what their deal is, but that's a pretty physical sport. But the entire point of football is to try to knock the crap out of the other guy.
And it's by far the most popular and lucrative of all the sports.
So, and I'm not sitting here crying and whining about it because, look, you get what you negotiate. It's just that the thing, you don't get what you deserve. I'm not like, oh, well, we deserve this and that. I took the chance and, you know, I got rewarded. It was a totally fair exchange. Anything that comes out of this that would benefit me or anything I see as icing on the cake. You know, and that's fine, but it's just so foolish that the players having that much power haven't done a better job negotiating.
And that's the problem, as you pointed out. Baseball started from a position of strength with Marvin Miller. So they started out much higher, where football with Upshaw and before him and after him, they're trying to work from the ground up.
And they're not working it the right way, and they never have. And look, for fans who are out there saying, why shouldn't they? This is one of the good lines I thought I had earlier. Because Stacy was talking about, what do you say to fans who say, hey, you know, I'd do this for nothing. These are guys making $10, $12 million a year. I said, well, it's not like the money would go to you. The money that they're not getting goes to the billionaire owners. You think billionaires should make more money?
Yeah.
That's the choice.
Billionaires versus millionaires, Gross.
And so it's not like the money's going to go to you.
Yeah. Well, you know what I always say to those people? Well, I'd play for free. I'm like, well, nobody would come watch you because you suck. Okay? So, I mean,
nobody goes to watch an owner own.
So, anyway, there's lots of people. Oh, these players are spoiled. Well, look, how many guys make the NFL? I mean, it's cream of the crop. A very small percentage of football players make it that way, and it's because they're really good. So, yeah, there's always that coming from both sides. But, you know, very quietly, I'm just like, look, you get what you negotiate. And I'm all for the NFLPA carving out as much as they possibly can. But
they don't. You're right, Dave.
They never do.
You get what you negotiate.
Well, and you, another line you threw out, which is very accurate. We haven't heard from everybody. Yeah, we've got Tyler's words here. We've got J.J. Watt and Richard Sherman.
Oh, we haven't heard from the vast majority.
Maybe they're the vocal minority. I don't know. I don't know.
I would assume that if you're not, see, the guys we've heard from have got big contracts, have made big money.
Yeah.
The guys
we're
not hearing from are the guys who haven't.
Yeah.
And that's the bulk of the NFL players.
You know, I heard it at some point, and I'm not sure how many times that, or how well that they did this, but they were supposedly, the NFLPA was going to have some kind of a fund to take care of, you know, obviously Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson are going to be fine, missing a couple of game checks.
Sure.
But, you know, for these guys that are making minimum, that they could get through it by, and, you know, that way they could all be united. I'm not sure if they ever got that done. I'm going to assume that the way that the Players Association is run, that they didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, that was, but yeah, going back to 87, I remember thinking, man, my agent, Marvin Demoff, who's the smartest guy in the NFL, was talking about, hey, you just have to get them in court afterwards. There really doesn't need to be a strike. But what he told me, he goes, do what your teammates are going to do, because you're going to be with these guys a long time.
Right.
You're a rookie. You don't want to be a guy who crosses the line or anything like that. So, and they did. They got him in court. And sure enough, just like Marvin said, went to the 8th District Court of Appeals in Minnesota, Judge David Doty, mm-hmm. and everything that he said played out, and they got free agency. But in order to get that, they had to go on strike.
All right, let's take two.
Take two.
The Huskies' losing streak extended to 9 games as they lost 72-64 to Stanford last night.
This is just so painful to watch. I'm watching a lot of these games.
They're the same game. You're watching. It's a Groundhog Day.
They have a lead in the second half and then almost every game. And then, right, they either stop playing offense the way they're supposed to or they just can't make a basket. I mean, it'd be one thing to lose 9 straight and getting blown out, getting your clocks cleaned, and you could just see it. But in this case, I mean, it's unbelievable. I don't know how you coach your way out of this.
It seems like as things start to go wrong, it's self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is.
You can almost see
point.
The body language, like, oh, here we go again. And Dave and I debated this. He thought they were going to turn this thing around and start a roll.
It's coming, Bob.
It's the beauty of college basketball. Dave knows it. I mean, you get a conference tournament, you get one win, you get your confidence back. Anything can happen.
But what have you seen that makes you think that they're going to do that, though?
Well, not from these guys, but what I've seen is teams with losing records make the NCAA
Certainly.
Tournament.
Certainly, but I mean, the consistency with which they're losing, in the way that they're losing.
Well, that to me would make me think that they're more likely to be a team that turns it around than a team that doesn't.
Right, because you said they get these leads.
They're leading in every game. They're playing well enough for 35 minutes.
This is just bad, though. Body language is bad. It feels like once it goes
wrong.
They
haven't won a game in 2 months.
Yeah, 13 of the last 15 they've lost. And I just, you know, I'm premised on young talent, Graz, and Hopkins being such a great coach. It's coming, Bob. I'm telling you. It may happen
I want you to be right. I'm rooting for him to do well, but I've watched enough of them at this point where I'm going, this is Groundhog's Day. I'm watching the same game over and over and over.
They've got the best non-conference win of any team in college basketball.
They beat Baylor.
The only team to beat them.
Wow.
They're number one.
How does that happen? 67-64. That was the first game of the year.
Baylor's won 23 straight since then.
Stewart wearing down?
He sure looked like it last night. I mean, you know, as a freshman, you know, you do hit the wall. And it sure looked like it last night.
The Seattle Dragons host their first division matchup of the season as they're at CenturyLink Field tomorrow playing the Dallas Renegades.
Brad, you want to go?
No, it's okay.
Are we thinking bigger crowd than last week? What are they anticipating? Do we know, Maura? Crowd size? Have we heard much about ticket sales?
I mean, I know all the players are telling me they're hoping the fans are going to show up just as much as last week,
Certainly.
Or if not even more. They got a win, so hopefully, but I haven't heard any predictive numbers.
I mean, you guys went, so I'll ask you. I mean, my line about this and talking to Clayton about it has been, the one thing they can do is make it a great crowd experience. I mean, push comes to shove, it's minor league football. But if you have a great fan experience at the game, especially in a place like Seattle, people will come back.
Well, CenturyLink does a great job with that. The employees, the people down there, the food. They just need faster beer lines.
Yeah, that was the big complaint.
Only problem.
That's a big complaint. That's a serious problem.
You know who had a big problem with that? Dave Wyman did.
Well, if Dave Wyman's got
a there's
problem.
A guy up at the front of the line just chatting away with the guy. Meanwhile, we're all sitting back here thirsty. Moron.
And younger Wyman was saying, Dad, don't say anything. Don't say anything.
It's usually the case. My son is usually fathering
me. The voice
me.
Of reason.
Yeah.
He was telling me the story. Yeah, I had to tell him, Dad, no, you'll get
Dad,
it.
Dad, don't say anything. Please
five,
don't say anything.
5 points. Who are the teams in the CS, in the Dragons division?
Moron. The West Side. The west side of the country. The Renegades
stumped.
Are in.
Right? Stumped right out of
Tampa's
the gate.
Tampa's on the other side. They're the east.
Maura could do it.
Yeah, you're not
LA,
wrong.
Houston, Dallas, and Seattle. Am I right?
Yes.
All right.
Look at Dave. Dave's big on the
I'm your
XFL,
guy.
Yeah,
you are.
It. He likes it. All right. Coming up, was a former Seahawk hinting at wanting to a reunion? Was he doing that on Twitter last night? We'll talk more about that. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore with the Graz in today on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. The Graz in for Jim Moore today.
Hey, congratulations. Isn't Jim's daughter getting married today?
I believe today is the day, yes. And he's been working on a dance, a father-daughter dance that's not like a traditional slow dance. They're doing something to in sync, right?
Yeah, they're doing a, I think, isn't there something with the Cougar fight song, too?
Oh,
I believe
I don't
they might be singing that. And then
that's a shocker.
Jim has been going to these dance lessons. And I've seen Jim kind of move around. We're talking wooden underwear here.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's so not hopefully good we'll see if he can, you know.
Well, we went
pull
to a,
off.
Went to a wedding, Bob, where we saw a guy here do the NSYNC number.
Oh, that's right, Tony Gardner.
Tony Gardner and his buddies, but they were a lot younger, and they were
they were
good.
There was more rhythm there. Jim has sort of imitated what he's going to do, and it looks really rigid.
It's quite stiff.
Wait, wish him good luck.
Is that a thing now that people are doing like NSYNC dances at weddings?
Well, this was Tony was married.
Yeah, this is a few years ago.
Several years back.
Yeah.
Oh, is Jim stealing the?
I'm trying to think if his daughter is close to age. Maybe she is.
Yeah, maybe
20s. Yeah, I don't know. Early 20s, but yeah, good for him. I can't wait to see the. I can't wait to see the video of it though.
Was Tony Gardner smiling the entire time? I'm gonna guess.
Of course he was.
You know
that he was.
He smiles when he's mad.
I really hate that guy.
That guy's such a jerk. I tell you what, Bob, that was, oh man, I had the worst time. Ear to ear smile. It's great. So good. Meanwhile, a former Seahawk out there hinting that maybe Seattle could be a possibility. Bruce Irvin is an unrestricted free agent this coming season after signing a one-year deal with the Panthers. He tweeted yesterday that, quote, I think I'm about to move to L.A., was the tweet. And then Cam Chancellor responded, said, come on back west, bruh. You know that, Dave. And then Irvin replied, don't tempt me, Bam Bam.
Okay.
So,
well, he just said west, though. There's lots of teams out west.
Cam said, yeah, come out west. I think he was, but that's specific. Cam's
all right.
Seattle guy.
Well, he's got to be talking about the Seahawks.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just being
skeptical. Because he was already saying he's going to L.A., so he was going west. He says, think I'm going to move to L.A., about to move to L.A. Would you want Bruce Irvin back?
I love
at the right
Irvin.
Cost, the right price. Why not?
Yeah, he's 32 years old.
That's the case with everybody when we talk about this, right? At the right price. And
well, because you're talking about age with these players. We're not talking about most of the time when that comes up, when you immediately throw out, well, right price, you're talking about an older guy.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. So, you know, started, what'll this be for him?
He's 32.
It'll be his ninth year.
Yeah, he had 8.5 sacks last year, which would be huge on this team.
10th year? He's already been in the league for 10 years.
It's amazing.
I can't believe that.
Yeah,
remember when he
works
when he was drafted, and he had the we wanted to make a T-shirt. The Lord knew it was BS.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
I remember we interviewed him, and he basically threw every coach he
had
in college under the bus.
I remember him.
Yes.
Him blasting his West Virginia coaches, saying they didn't teach him anything.
Yeah, he's like, imagine what I'd be if I actually had somebody coach me.
Yeah.
We're like, wow,
it was. He didn't mince words.
He meant to do that. 2014, the guy. Here's what's so always been so impressive about him to me. And first of all, just looking at his sacks, he's got 52 sacks in his career, 8.5 last season. One of those on Russell Wilson when we went out there and played him in Carolina. But remember, in 2014, two pick sixes, two, and he didn't enjoy them. We asked him, he's like, I'd still rather have sacks. But that is a guy who they turned into a linebacker, and I was so impressed with him. Because the problem is, usually, I mean, man-to-man coverage is easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to execute physically. It's more demanding, but you don't have to think. Zone drops are, you have to think, and you have to kind of understand. And from day one, he just understood how to drop into a zone. You know, it's not used turn around and cover a piece of grass. He was taking a peek at receivers and kind of crowding him and getting in front of him. And, you know, he just did such a good job with that, but he didn't want any part of that. And then same thing when he went down to Oakland, and the first year I was watching him down there, and just the way he keeps his shoulders square, way he plays the edge, everything. He's a great linebacker, but he wants to be a defensive end. And I think, again, like you said, Gross, for the right price. Yeah. I mean, he would be, I think a guy that, he's never been a problem on the team, has he? The only thing he ever did was kick Jimmy Graham's football up into the stands.
Yeah, no, it was never a problem.
Yeah, so
I would say that he 8.5 sacks would have looked awfully good last year.
He would have doubled our leading sack guy.
Yeah.
So more than doubled. But
here's a little blast from the past of Bruce Irvin dealing with Danny O'Neill, who used to just pander.
Well, Danny used to bring him McDonald's.
Just pandering to the guy. Just
every day.
Yeah.
Or every week.
Just lacking all self-respect, Danny O'Neill.
How would you describe the two Big Macs, Bruce?
They're very delicious. I appreciate you for keeping your word, man.
I've got to. You get two sacks, you get two Big Macs, right? Is that going to be the exchange rate? Is one sack equals one Big Mac? What do you think is fair going forward?
I think we agree to that. But what if I get three sacks?
Can you have three Big Macs? Or maybe I get you
three Big Macs. What about two Big Macs and a McFlurry?
What kind of McFlurry? Oreo?
M&M's.
M&M McFlurry. Yeah. So three sacks equals two Big Macs and one M&M McFlurry.
Yep. Correct.
As he's eating it right there.
They still have those?
McFlurries?
Yeah.
Not sure.
I've been to McDonald's.
Yeah. I don't know what forged that friendship between Danny and Bruce.
McDonald's. I do. McDonald's. Yeah. Just what Bob said.
Yeah, but it happened before that, and they just kind of had a love for each other. He also has a quote somewhere where he told Jim Moore that he's a good-looking older man. You're a nice-looking older man.
that was Irvin that said
yeah.
that?
Yeah. But, I mean, look.
So, right price, we agree. Yeah. Yeah, he could come back. He's not a long-term solution.
They don't need a long-term solution. They need next year. Yeah. Next year's a Super Bowl year, in my opinion.
But part of that, they need. I mean, if you sign Clowney, that's long-term. If you sign Fowler, that'd be a long-term. They need these younger guys you're looking at. All right, that's for next year and years beyond. Bruce Irvin is next year. Maybe you sign him to a two-year deal, perhaps. But
Well, I think as long as you're talking about a guy who's going to impact you next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even care about the following years. I mean, your Super Bowl window is right now. It's every single season, and you got to look at it that way.
Are you looking at it from the standpoint of Bobby Wagner, K.J. Wright, Russell Wilson?
It's a part of it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they can bring him in, he would be like a healthy Ziggy Ansah. I mean, yeah. That's what they were trying to get out of him. And as far as I know, Bruce didn't end the season with any kind of an injury. He started 12 games. By the way, it is his ninth year coming up. He drafted the same year as that fantastic 2012 draft.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, yep. Bobby Wagner. So, I think you need like an edge guy. They have enough of the defensive end side. And somebody was talking about, yeah, you need to get like a Red Bryant type of guy. I feel like Rasheem Green, and I believe LJ Collier, can be that kind of guy. I'm getting lots of heat I'm kind of promoting Collier
this
offseason.
Why not? I mean, why shouldn't you?
He just didn't get very many opportunities, and the plays just didn't come his way. I was talking to these guys about it. I went back through three or four of his games, and it's not like he was terrible. It was just that, you know, Amy has some things where there's only like three or four where I'm like, that's not good. You're jogging. You're not, being stingy with the space and squeezing the gap enough. For the most part, it was like throw away, you know, from him. And there was no opportunity for him to get in on it. But so you have that guy. You have maybe a guy like Quentin Jefferson, Brandon Jackson on that side. You need the guy off the back edge who is Clowney. Or possibly Bruce Irvin. So, you know, if you can get him for a good bargain, sign Clowney. I mean, that's really, if they didn't do anything else, I would be okay with that. I mean, we're talking about corners. We're talking about safeties maybe.
Right.
You know, we talk about Darius Slay, but it's pass rush.
All right, coming up, Dave Wyman and Michael Bumpus both named the same standout player from last week's Dragon game. That would be cornerback Jeremy Clark. Do a little player spotlight from Dave Wyman coming up next on that very player. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore with the Graz in today on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at the top of the hour, the professor, John Clayton, will join us here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. The Graz in today for Jim Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. Meanwhile, Dave, you and Michael Bumpus both had a guy that you thought was the standout player for the Dragons last week, and that'd be cornerback Jeremy Clark.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. The first game, he stood out to me just because of the way he played the edge, and I did a football one-on-one thing that you can find on 710sports.com.
Where?
710sports.com, and I did the week one where him and Godwin Igwebuke did a really good job of playing the run. And Jeremy Clark, that's what I like about him. He's 6'3", 220, and kid out of Michigan, 50 tackles in 23 games there, 3 interceptions, 6 passes defense, and he got drafted by the Jets. So he was there in 17 and 18. He was a sixth-round draft choice, number 197 overall with the Jets. And he got activated for just a couple of games in 17 and 18. Not sure what he was doing. During 19, he didn't really do anything. But yeah, he's a good edge player, too. But he got an interception last week. And then he had a couple of tackles for loss. And the thing I really liked about him in week one against the defenders is the way he took on the block and played the edge. And then he made a tackle, and that was the tackle I think I described where he grabbed the guy's sock. That's how he got
tackled him by his sock.
Yeah. So, and I I had a play like that where I grabbed a guy's wristband and pulled down on it, and that made him fumble. Because, you know, that happens so fast. You're just grabbing for anything that you can. And, you know, he played it perfectly, really well. And I just physical. And anytime I see a corner that's physical, I just think
that's, you love that.
That's a bonus, man. Because, you know, look at like Deion Sanders. I mean, you never could count on corners to get, you know.
Deion was pretty extreme the other way, though.
Yeah, and then on the other end would be Sherm, who's really good at taking on. He'll take on blockers.
Mm-hmm.
He'll take on receivers. He's a good hitter. So, yeah, that's what I like about Jeremy Clark. And actually, Mora got a chance to know him, and he seems like a good kid, Mora. He's a little bit quiet, maybe.
Yeah, he's definitely a little quiet. I talk to him in-game because I get to kind of go up to them after big plays and get a quick second to interview them, but I didn't get to follow up. He told me that he'd been needing the interception, so I asked him at practice later that week why.
He told me in-game that you've been needing that interception. Okay. Why do you feel that way? What does it do for you mentally?
I mean, it just, you know, it's a confidence builder. I feel like ever since I tore my ACL, you know, my role has been kind of difficult, and then I just felt like that was a breath of fresh air right there, so that's what I mean when I said I needed it.
So he tore his ACL his senior year, fourth game of the season.
At Michigan?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Jets drafted him with that injury, knowing he wasn't going to be ready right away. And just I think that's made things harder for him breaking in since. And so just he was really, really excited to get that interception last week.
Well, and you could relate to that, right? You tear your knee up at Stanford. You come into the NFL. You need those plays. You get a big play under your belt, whether for you it's a tackle or a fumble recovery, forced fumble, whatever. I mean, how far does a play like that go in terms of confidence?
It's huge. You know, I coming back, and really my comeback play would have been my senior year, fifth-year senior year, because I got hurt my junior year, redshirted my senior year, and then my fifth year I came back. And the first two, three games, I was, you know, a bunch of assist tackles, not like a tackle on my own. We went to Oregon State, I think it was week three or four, and a hole opened up, and I shot through it, and I made a tackle in the backfield, and I never looked back. And I had a great senior year the rest of the year. But, yeah, sometimes you need that one play. But I would think the one play where he, you know, takes on the receiver and makes the tackle on the guy with his sock, that would have given him a lot of confidence too. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just one play. So it's a great question you ask, because I totally can relate to that. It's like I never even thought about my knee. Once I made that tackle, I was like, okay, I got this now.
You trust it now.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's not thinking about it, right?
Exactly.
Whenever you come back from an injury, it's, oh.
Yeah, because
I made the play.
Yeah, I sat there for a year and a half going, oh, man, what if it doesn't hold up? And, you know, and still the memories of how horrible that thing looked and, you know, how could this possibly be that I could come back and play? And, yeah, so once you go and make a play like that, you just don't think about it. And for him, I'm sure that was went a long way. But he ends up getting a pick in that game, mostly because it was a bad throw. But, I mean, he was in the right spot for it, which we're seeing a lot of bad throws.
You see a lot of bad throws that will hit a defender right in the hands or between the numbers. They don't come up with the ball.
Yeah.
I mean,
Akeem King.
Yeah.
Remember in the Atlanta game?
Yes,
man.
I do, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, we can all say, yeah, bad throw, it was easy. Well, there are a lot of guys that make it look hard. They don't make it look easy, right? And then you go, oh, yeah, that's why they're a defensive back. They're not a wide receiver because they can't hang on to the ball. One more cut from him. Just talking about excited to face the Dallas Renegades. He likes to play against teams that throw the ball a lot.
We know that they like to pass the ball a lot. And, you know, as a corner, I'm excited because there's more plays that I potentially can make. But, yeah, the defense is just locking in, treating it like their regular week, you know, just trying to be the best we can be.
So he's facing Hal Mumme, the father of the air raid.
Yeah.
And Mara and I were talking about, we saw the broadcast, I think it was St. Louis Battlehawks playing the Dallas Renegades.
Yeah.
And Hal Mumme likes to, what does he do when he writes up his plays?
They said he likes to have a glass of Maker's Mark in the team hot tub. Come up with his plays.
That's a Kentucky coach, baby.
That's when you get creative.
That's a Kentucky coach.
That gets the creative juices flowing.
Yeah, Jerry Glanville's coaching in the XFL.
Yeah.
A lot of great old names back there.
Wait, that guy's dying his hair. Do you see his hair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your one question about Hal Mumme with a glass of whiskey in the team hot tub? What's your one question there?
Is he or isn't he?
Is he naked?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my
is
problem.
Is he or isn't he?
Because there was a guy
that did come to mind.
There was a guy that used to hang around with Chuck Knox. Oh, Graz, I think you'd know his name. He's an old coach for the Chicago Bears.
Abe Gibron.
Thank you. He would
a guy you would not want to see.
Right, and he would go and get in the hot tub naked in there.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and one
would
time
he be the only one, or was everybody?
Abe was a big fella.
He was big, he was a portly guy. Round guy.
A lot of him to see.
And one time he was trying to get in the hot tub and he got high centered. And he was trying to lean, and he starts calling for Jimmy Weitzel, the trainer. And so Jimmy had to go, and okay, yeah, he'd lower him into the tub.
Lower him in.
And I'd be like, I'd come out of the training room like, yeah, don't go in the hot tub, guys.
That's a bad visual. That is a really bad visual. All right. Coming up, what's the latest with this battle to reach an agreement on the CBA? We're going to ask the professor. He joins us next here. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.